Last week we began 3 John, which just gave you an introduction to the book of 3 John. And actually we looked briefly at verses 1 through 4. Now, Mark commented last week that I preached really short. So I said, don't worry, I'll make up for it next week. So don't get too excited. And I never know how long I'm going to preach, really. I don't. I have usually about the same number of pages of notes, and sometimes it goes more rapidly than others and all. So it's hard to tell. But anyway, last week, you may recall that I mentioned to you that 3 John is the shortest book in the New Testament. It has 219 words in Greek, and 2 John has 245. So, 26 words in the Greek shorter than 2 John. So that gives it the distinction of being the shortest book in the New Testament. Now, I mentioned to you last week also, both 2 and 3 John both have to do with the triumphs and the conflicts that is experienced by the local church when traveling missionaries and evangelists are going about. 2 John deals with that subject and talking about withholding Christian aid or Christian hospitality to certain individuals because of certain reasons. If they're wrong in their doctrine and so forth, don't help them. Don't even wish them Godspeed. Remember? Now, 3 John is just the other way around. It is saying we ought to be extending Christian aid and Christian hospitality to certain traveling missionaries, evangelists, so forth, that meet certain criteria. And that's the major differences. One saying withhold, the other saying do it, but under these conditions. Okay? So that's kind of where we're going at today. In verses 1 through 4, we saw John's salutation and prayer and commendation of a man named Gaius. All right? John wished him good wishes in verses 1 through 4 there. And this idea of wishing something good on someone had more of the idea of actually having such strong desire that it caused you to do something, that you would actually pray for that individual. I mean, if you're really burdened and concerned for someone, you'll take it to the Lord, won't you? And that's really the force behind it. It has the idea, back in secular Greek, of even invoking the gods on behalf of someone. And that's why we said that actually his good wish here is a prayer for the man Gaius. All right? Now, we said the reason for his prayer was that he had heard these good reports, many good reports from the brethren, as you'll see there in verses 3 and 4. He had heard that Gaius was in the truth. The truth was in him. That is, he possessed the doctrinal truth. He was truly a born-again Christian believer. And therefore, that report was back to him, and John heaps praise and commendation upon him for that. But more so than just being in the truth, he actually walked in the truth as well. We talked about how that had to do with an ongoing, habitual, day-in, day-out type of thing that had manifested itself in his life. And these multi-reports were coming back to John by different people that had been traveling through the area and saying, wow, that guy over there, he's great. He really loves the Lord. He's really extended hospitality to me. He's helped me out. He's helped me on my journeys as I'm serving the Lord. That's where we basically left off. Now in verse 5, I believe we, like Gaius, ought to extend hospitality. That's the proposition for today. Christians should be hospitable. Let's read in the whole book then so you get the context. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. So Christians should be hospitable. Christians should be like Gaius here and show Christian hospitality to other missionaries, evangelists, traveling people that are coming through the area and all, as much as within their ability. That's what we should be doing. But I feel like I need to right off begin with a word of warning. I don't like to always issue words of warning, especially at the very beginning of a message. But do you realize showing hospitality, it's a four-letter word, is work. Do you realize that? That's the root word here behind what he's talking about doing. He says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. The root behind doest has to do with ergo. Ergo is the Greek word for work. He's saying, what you do, Gaius, is work. Now, most of us don't like that idea of work, do we? You know, when we're kids, we think going off to work and getting a paycheck and all that is great, right? And we just can't wait to get this first job, right? And then you go and you work, and especially most of us, we start out on the low level, right? That means you do all the back-breaking, dirty, grimy jobs that nobody else wants to do, pretty much, right? Isn't that where we started, most of us? Most of us didn't start with a $100,000 a year job or, you know, sitting behind a desk or anything like that. Of course, most of us don't have that kind of salary anyway, but you get the idea. And then it's a rude awakening, isn't it, for us as children or as young adults at that point in our life. Now we understand why they call it work, because it's not necessarily fun. And it requires a great amount of expenditure of energy and sometimes sacrifice on your own part to do this particular job, right? And that's exactly what I need to warn you about right here. If you're going to do what Gaius did, if you're going to have the commendation that Gaius had in your life and in your ministry, it's going to require work on your behalf. It's going to require some blood, sweat, and sacrifice on your part. But that nevertheless, that I believe is the central message here, that we too should be like him, be like this Gaius who was commended by the Apostle John, and we too should be hospitable to other Christian brothers and sisters. Christians, number one, should faithfully extend hospitality. In verses 5 and 6, we see that. This is what Gaius did, and John commended him for. Hospitality should be done, and according to verse 5, faithfully. Faithfully has the idea of doing something with a sense of duty and obligation. In other words, you see this is something that is your duty. This is something that you don't really have any real say-so about. It's not really an option for your life. This is something that has been placed upon you. Now it's up to you to carry that out. That's the idea behind faithfully. So because Gaius saw this as his sense of duty and obligation, He was constant in the performance of that thing. He did this on a regular, consistent basis. Does not faithfully in your mind have the idea of doing something on an ongoing, regular basis? If we say you were faithful at whatever, in your mind, we'll probably jump to the idea that this is something you do on a regular, ongoing basis, right? You're a faithful church member. You're faithful in your attendance. You're faithfully show up at work on time. It's something that you do regularly, often. That's kind of what characterizes your life. That's what he's commending Gaius for here, that he is, what he's doing, this work that he's doing, he is doing it in a faithful manner. He's doing it often, so it speaks about his frequency in which he does this hospitality of helping the Christian missionaries that are traveling through the area, but it also speaks of not only the frequency, but of the manner in which he serves and works, doing this ministry of hospitality. He is doing it in a very faithful manner. It is something that is becoming of a faithful, mature man or woman of God. That's what John is saying. He's saying, what you're doing, you do faithfully. Therefore, hospitality should be done faithfully. Hospitality should also be done with the right motive, according to verse 6. What motivated Gaius to show this hospitality? At least the way I see it in verse 6, it is his charity, or charity is another word for love, isn't it? And this is the word agape. We've talked about agape love. We've talked about John as the apostle of love, haven't we? As we did our study in 1 John and 2 John, we've talked about how love is what is supposed to be characteristic of the Christian life, right? And this love, if we really have it, if we really have agape kind of love for other Christian brothers and sisters, we just hold it inside, right? How are you going to know it? We've talked about this. You're going to see it manifested in our actions and our attitudes, aren't we? And that's exactly what motivated Gaius to show hospitality. So hospitality should be done with the right motivation, and that motivation is Christian charity or Christian love. 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hospitality is commanded, and hospitality should be done with the right motivation, that is love, not done out of grudgingly, right? That's the wrong way to do it. I mean, it's your duty to do it, and you need to do it. But just like tithing, right? God doesn't really need your money. Pioneer Baptist Church, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to. We don't really need your money. What we need is your heart. And God needs your heart. And if your heart is where it ought to be with the Lord, all that other stuff, money, service, so forth and so on, that just falls in place. That's what we need. That's what God wants, is your heart, isn't it? And the same thing with hospitality. God wants your heart, and if he's got your heart, he will have your hospitality as well. Hospitality, see, should be done for the correct purpose. What's the purpose, or why did he do that? So that he could bring them forward on their journey. According to verse 6, this means that he was supplying the various needs of these traveling missionaries. He was giving them the warm send-off for their next journey so that they could go on to their next phase of ministry that the Lord had called them to. They were traveling around. The Lord called them here. Somebody would help them out. Somebody would help take care of them, provide them food and shelter and any other maybe needs that they might have. They would help meet those needs to the best of their ability. And then they would travel on to another place, planting churches and doing whatever they were doing in that day and age. And it's no different, is it, with modern missions? We have missionaries come through. To the best of our ability, we should show them hospitality. We should show them and help them to the best of our ability. And as God has blessed us, we ought to be a blessing to others in turn. And that's exactly the purpose behind it. Hospitality should be done for the correct purpose, to bring others forward on their journey, help them out in the mission, the ministry that God has called them to. D, hospitality should be done in the right manner as well. In verse 6, it says that he did it after a godly sort. That implies that what we are doing is as unto God himself. That's what it means there. That what you're doing, Gaius, is great. But you know what? You're doing it out of the right motive, out of Christian love. You're doing it in the right manner. You're sending them off. You're helping them on their journey. But you're doing it in a way just like you would be serving God himself if he was there. Now, that's saying a lot, isn't it? Wow. Now you see why John is commending faithful Gaius in his ministry of hospitality and showing of Christian aid to these traveling missionaries and so forth. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That was what Gaius was doing. He was doing this ministry of hospitality as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23-24. "And whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." That's exactly what Gaius was doing. So Christians should faithfully extend hospitality. I told you how. It should be done faithfully. It should be done with the right motivation. It should be done for the correct purpose. And it should be done in the right manner. Second of all, Christians should faithfully extend hospitality to the right sort of people. In other words, you need to be a little selective in who you're bestowing this hospitality and Christian aid upon. I mean, we only have so much resources, right? I mean, there are a lot of people I would like to help. And we would like to support many, many, many missionaries because there's a lot of good ones out there. But we sometimes have to be selective because we only have so much resources that God has given us. The last thing I want to do is support someone who is in doctrinal error or living in an immoral life or whatever. Just a ministry that's not very good for one reason or another. But he talks here a little bit in verses 5 and 7 of the people, the sort of people that Gaius is showing hospitality to. And verse 5 tells us that these people that he's showing this ministry of hospitality to fit the criteria of, first of all, being a believer. In other words, they're part of the Christian family. They're true, born again, blood bought, blood washed, Bible believing, Christ honoring believers. That's what he's talking about. They are part of the family of God. That's our number one thing. We've got to make sure we're supporting, obviously, people that are truly born again, truly brethren, and truly our family members, are part of our heavenly family. And then it talks about not only brethren, but what else does it say in verse 5? And to strangers. Now, the best I can understand that, and I read a couple commentaries to go along with this, and I should say I'm in agreement with them, or they're in agreement with me. We're in agreement with one another, however you want to say it. But this strangers is just a subcategory of brethren. Okay? It's saying that you support Christians, but not only Christians that you know, but you even support other Christians that are coming through that have maybe a good reputation, and you don't know them personally. That's the idea here. You're supporting those missionaries that you know that are coming through. That's great. That's wonderful. But your hospitality extends even beyond that. Others are coming through here, and you don't really know them personally, but maybe you know of them kind of thing. They're strangers to you, actually, and you support them. John, you are commended. Gaius, you are commended for that. So that's the kind of people we need to be supporting. We need to support those that fit the right category. Okay? Not only that, but to those that have the right conduct. See, in verse 7, it talks about those that are going forth. These are, again, this is why I've been talking about these are missionaries. These are traveling evangelists or some folk like that. These are people that are traveling and they don't have a home place where they're being put and have a steady job somewhere because they're traveling. They're in ministry for the Lord. And that ministry involves a lot of traveling about. So therefore, they need hospitality. That's the kind of people. These are the people that Gaius is extending this Christian aid and hospitality to. See, and it's also to those that have the right motive for going forth, okay? Why are they going forth? For his name's sake. These are not people who are engaged in some kind of private business pursuit, okay? These are people that are actually engaged in the activity that is necessary to further the name of Jesus Christ. These are people that are serving the Lord. In other words, not just out traveling about, therefore you extend all this hospitality to them because they're on vacation or they're out trying to earn some money or whatever. That, you know, let them take care of themselves pretty much. I mean, if you want to be nice to them, that's great. That's wonderful. But if your resources are limited, this is where it needs to be funneled to primarily, obviously, to those that are serving the Lord and trying to minister to others and preach the gospel. That's basically the idea there, that are going forth for his name's sake. All right? And also, you notice that they take nothing of the Gentiles. Okay? Why don't they take anything of the Gentiles? To avoid any kind of bad impression that they might give to these unbelievers. If you're going to an unbelieving community, and then you start soliciting funds, and then you preach to them, do you not see how that could look and be perceived in a very negative light, and maybe cause certain rumors, especially from the opposition that's out there, the Judaizers or whoever else, some of the false teachers that are out and about in these communities, they aren't really concerned about your soul. All they're concerned about is your money kind of thing. So these people, when they traveled, they didn't solicit any funds from the Gentiles. That's the unsaved. That's what it's talking about. Not as a class, meaning non-Jew. Because obviously they would go to churches that were established elsewhere in the Gentile territories and they would get aid from those individuals. So it's not talking about a designation as like American or something like that. This is talking about saved versus unsaved. So they don't take any help from the unsaved community in that manner. Okay? So they're going forth with his right motive. They go forth for his name's sake. They take nothing of the Gentiles, because they don't want to be misperceived or give any room for any kind of debate or concern to be risen by maybe an unbeliever or anything like that. You notice, it made me think, and I know I've said this before, but Channel 4, you know, the some of these Christians on TV, supposed Christians anyway, I mean, they solicit money all the time, don't they? Not only from Christians, but whoever. And that's one of the things I have problems with on some of the fundraising type activities that go on in churches. We're out asking the unsaved world to help us. Please give us your money. We need help. That looks terrible to me. Doesn't it to you? Is our God so puny that he can't take care of his children? That we have to go out into the world at large and all. I mean, so you see that. But you see that in Channel 4 quite frequently in those kind of places. And And even there, they will say, well, you know, send us so much money and we'll pray for you. And that kind of thing. I mean, how does that look? How is that perceived? That they're only doing it for the money's sake and all? That's not what these people did, was it? Do you perceive that at all of these people? They went there with a sole purpose of ministering to the people, preaching the gospel for his name's sake. We don't want anything from you. We want to give to you. Dean mentioned this morning, money and gold, silver and gold have I none, but that such as I have, I give unto you. That's the idea. That's the philosophy in which they went forth. And that's the kind of missionaries that we ought to support as well. Those that are going forth to the best of their ability, trying to evangelize and establish churches and do all those sorts of work for the Lord there, not out trying to just get wealthy off the public at large. So hospitality is talked about in a lot of passages. And you see here that, again, John commends Gaius for his hospitality, for his Christian aid that he extends. And John commends him for it. And you know what? It's interesting that when these missionaries went back, they bragged about him. Where at? In the church. Now, we sometimes we fail to maybe brag on people, but I think we should also bear testimony to others that do extend this hospitality. And sometimes maybe a little public praise would be beneficial. People shouldn't do things for the purpose of receiving public praise, but should that stop us from giving some public praise occasionally? You understand the difference there? We ought to do it. They shouldn't do it so that they receive it. You understand the difference? I hope you do. So that would be my third point that I would see from these passages here and these short verses down through 8, that Christians should also bear testimony of others who extend hospitality. And we obviously we don't want to just harp on that and go on and on and on about how somebody is so wonderful and they do all these great things and all that. But a word of encouragement, even a public word of encouragement at times, would be a nice thing to do, it seems like to me. And we don't want anybody to get puffed up and get proud and that sort of thing, right? So you have to be careful, obviously. But Romans, there's several other passages that talk about hospitality and the life of the believer. Do you have any doubt then that really Christians should show hospitality and Christian aid to other believers? And especially those that are going forth in his name, taking nothing of the Gentiles and all like we've talked about. Romans 12:13 says, it's in the passage of your love again and how this love would be manifested in your life. It talks about distributing to the necessity of the saints given to hospitality. 1 Timothy 3 talks about a pastor or a bishop. What's one of the characteristics? A bishop then, in verse 2, 1 Timothy 3, 2, a bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Hospitality is something that ought to be prevalent in the life of a believer. Titus 1, 8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, temperate. And again, by way of application here, I mentioned at the beginning, or during the announcements, I suppose it was, that October is a big missions month, right? Especially at Hamilton Acres and a lot of other churches all across the U.S. So missions has been kind of on my mind, especially having the missionary Tom First come here next Sunday, and then Brother Ernie is going to be here that following Tuesday as well. So missions has been something I've been thinking about a little bit. And when I see this, and as we've outlined this passage here, I couldn't help but think about our missions effort, and how it might relate to this passage, or how this passage might apply to that. I think that we should be faithfully giving Christian aid to missionaries. And this Christian aid can come in various forms, obviously. Prayer is a big way of giving Christian aid to someone. We can help them physically, and we can help them financially as best, to the best of our ability. That certainly seems to be what Gaius did here. He helped these people in various aspects. And these forms of Christian aid or hospitality to missionaries should be done on a regular basis, just like he did here. He did it faithfully. We talked about that. Our support for missions should be motivated by our agape kind of love that we have for them and for the ministry that they are have been called to. The purpose of our support, why do we support missionaries in the first place? Isn't it really to bring them forward on their journey, just like right here? I think it is. In other words, we're to help them to do whatever it is that God has called them to do. The manner in which we should give support to our missionaries is like we were doing it unto God Himself. We shouldn't do some service to the Lord with some kind of anger or grumpiness, grudgingly, in any way like that, right? And that's why we put on the tithe envelope. You've seen the verse there, right? Out of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians. Anyway, it's about not giving grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. This is the manner in which we should be supporting our missionaries. And so, again, later in the month, we'll be passing out the little slip, just so you can be thinking about what the Lord wants you to do for missions. If you can't do it with a cheerful heart, then don't give. And we will adjust accordingly. But if God wants you to, then do it. Okay? So for our invitation today, I just ask you a couple questions. I want you to really consider your own hospitality and your Christian aid that you minister in the area of missions. Really think about it. Are you really doing all that God wants you to do in the area of missions? And secondly, what about this area of hospitality and Christian aid, not only to missions? Somehow that has a romantic idea in our eyes, and we can usually do that. But what about at home? Are we showing Christian aid and hospitality to one another? I hope we are. I hope we're praying for one another. I hope we're being motivated by our love for the brethren, that we are doing all that we can do to help each other, whether it's through prayer, through financial, through some kind of physical means of help, whatever the case is there. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart about that as well. If you've got some kind of anger issue or problem with another believer, you won't be able to show them this kind of Christian aid and hospitality, will you? So therefore, you need to resolve those kind of conflicts so that this can be true in your life, at home and abroad. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this man, Gaius, that the Apostle John wrote to. We thank you for the book of 3 John. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us to really think about the amount of Christian aid and hospitality that we have in our own life. Father, help us to just be faithful to you. Help us to be able to give to the area of missions on a faithful basis, out of the right motive and doing for the right purpose. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us have great wisdom when it comes to selecting missionaries as an individual or a church. Pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts and our lives and have your will done today. Father, if there's an area here or someone here that's got some unresolved conflict with another person, and today we pray, Lord, that you'd help them to resolve that and to have a forgiving spirit so that they may not withhold any kind of hospitality. There wouldn't be any kind of division in the body, we pray in Jesus' name.